Ms. Williams.
The petitioner, Pauline Ndanyi, suffered past persecution in Cameroon. There's no question about that. There is also no longer a dispute that she was a credible witness. The lower courts failed to find the connection between the harm she suffered and her political opinion or religion. They also failed to apply the mixed motives doctrine, which this court does recognize. Now, Ms. Ndanyi was a member of the Northwest Student Association. She testified that it was not a political group, but the record shows that it served a political purpose, which was standing up for equal treatment between the Francophones and the Anglophones. And there's continuing conflict between the French-speaking people and the English-speaking people. The Francophone government has done things to marginalize the Anglophones. Now,
but what is the evidence that she's likely to be persecuted if she returns and lives in one of the Anglophone provinces?
Even the country reports, the Department of State report states that even in the two Anglophone provinces in Cameroon, there is a widespread human rights violations against Anglophones because the Francophone government is a nationwide.
The only thing you mentioned was, you know, discrimination in college admission. That's not persecution.
In some ways it is, Your Honor.
It isn't. We've distinguished between discrimination and persecution.
Well, persecution is a very broad definition.
It's not really that broad. I mean, persecution goes beyond discrimination. It's, you know, where you're not permitted to practice a religion. You know, you're under threat of arrest and beating and so on. But just discrimination, half the world would be persecuted.
Well, the persecution she suffered went beyond discrimination.
No, not what she suffered. I'm talking about does she have a well-founded fear of being persecuted if she's returned? That's the issue that troubles me.
Well, Ms. Ndanyi, she believes in equal rights between Anglophones and Francophones. The fact that she's been here in the U.S., that even strengthens her beliefs even more. Now, there was no question that she suffered past persecution. If there's no question that she suffered past persecution.
The question is future persecution, right?
Well, if she has established past persecution, there is a presumption
that she will suffer. Can be rebutted, and the board thinks that she can go back, she can live in one of these Anglophone provinces. There'll still be some discrimination, but she won't be persecuted. No indication of that.
Well,
I didn't see it in your brief. Maybe there is evidence.
In the record, she did move away from the university area. She stayed with her family for a few months. And then her family was attacked and arrested because of religious disputes. Now, after that happened, she hid out at a family friend by the name of Martha.
You're talking about the past, and I'm asking you about the future.
Well, a summons was issued against Ms. Ndanyi. She never responded to it.
I know that. But so it's all right. Well, I want to be impatient. So are you saying that because there was that summons, if she goes back to this different part of the country, she will be arrested? Is that what you're suggesting?
There is a strong possibility that might happen. For future persecution, you have to have a subjective fear. Now, obviously, she's afraid. She's afraid of returning because of what she suffered. She was arrested, beaten, and raped in jail after participating in the
protest. No, we know what happened. The question is, what is the objective fear she has of being persecuted?
The objective fear is that the country conditions in Cameroon have not changed. They have not changed. And she still holds a belief that Anglophones...
But she's going to a different place. Now, what can happen to her there, or what's likely to happen worse than maybe having difficulty getting into a college?
Are the police controlled by the Francophones?
Yes, they are. The Francophone, they dominate the government, and the police is very much with the government. That is one of the reasons when she protested at the school that there was a police that went out for them, arrested them, hit them with batons,
well,
and detained them.
That may go to Judge Posner's question. Can she reasonably expect that the police will search her out when she comes back?
That is very possible, because this woman participated in a protest, and granted, the group that she...
Even though she may be in a region that's Anglophone.
Well, first of all, we'd have to assume that it's reasonable for her to relocate, given all the years that have passed by. And at the same time, we can't ignore the country reports that say, even in the Anglophone provinces, you have a Francophone government going out to these provinces and persecuting Anglophones because they suspect them
of... What is the evidence that they persecute? Again, not discriminate, but actually persecute people in these provinces?
There is a section on the brief. Unfortunately, I don't have the brief with me, but there is a direct quote from the Department of State.
You say have suffered disproportionately, you're quoting the report, that natives of the two Anglophone provinces have suffered disproportionately from human rights violations committed by the government and its security forces. Okay, so... Is there anything about the frequency of those or how great the disproportion is or what? I mean, suppose the government persecutes the whole population, and wouldn't it have to be some evidence of her complaint is that they come down harder on Francophones, so is that sentence from the country report, is that your entire evidence?
It's just one example.
What's something else then? You say it's just one example. What's the other evidence you have?
Well, the whole, if you look at the country reports, not just the Department of State, it does say that the Francophone government, and it's in the news as well, that the Francophone government dominates the population, that the Anglophones are basically marginalized, that there is the Southern Democratic Front, which is an opposition group, that Anglophones are...
Is this in the record or what? All I see in your brief that bears on this issue is that quotation from the country report. Is there something else in the record?
Unfortunately, I do not have the entire record with me. If it's something that I could brief for the court in a 20-J letter or...
That would be fine, of course.
Okay. But the point, though, is that the board failed to apply the mixed motives doctrine, regardless of whether she was arrested for disturbing the peace. The fact is that she was standing up for equal rights between Anglophones and Francophones. This is very similar to what was going on here in the United States in the 60s when black students formed a group called the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and they were a voice in the civil rights movement. It started out with the schools, with college-age students standing up for equality between blacks and whites, and this is a very similar situation in Cameroon, where students are basically a core group of having equality between Anglophones and Francophones. And I'd like to reserve some time for rebuttal.
Sure,
but
that's fine. Thank you, Ms. Williams. Mr. Sponzo? Ms. Sponzo, sorry.
May it please the court, Jem Sponzo on behalf of the respondent. To begin with the nexus argument, petitioner has simply failed to provide any evidence that either her first arrest or her second arrest were motivated by her political opinion or her religion, either in whole or in part. With respect to this mixed motives argument, a mixed motives analysis is inherent in the agency's determination that political opinion and religion were not at issue. Petitioner may well have had political motivations for joining the Northwest Student Association, but those political intentions were not the reason for her arrest. She was arrested for the disturbance that her demonstration caused on campus.
But the demonstration was against the discriminatory policies of the university, wasn't it?
It very
Which
well may have been.
A political dispute, even
Absolutely.
Though she didn't herself characterize it that way. That's factually what was going on.
Correct. But her failure to characterize it as such is problematic based on this record. This court must look to see whether the record compels the conclusion offered by petitioner. And at bottom, what we have here is potentially political activity, potentially a political organization, but an arrest for a disturbance on campus. And that
is the savagery with which they treated the prisoners suggests something more than just arresting kids for a school disturbance.
Perhaps, but again, petitioner's testimony is lacking.
Common sense.
Exactly. I readily acknowledge that petitioner's experiences in Cameroon were terrible, and
that's
that this
not
is
my point. My point is the savagery with which they responded, the police responded, suggests something more than just arresting kids who were causing a disturbance in the school.
I would disagree, Your Honor. As this court has held, generalized conditions of violence and brutality will not per se give rise to characterizing.
You're not getting my point. My point is the savagery with which they reacted suggests that there was a political hostility and not just police who get irritated by the people they arrest and you know, brutalize them. You think this happens every time the Cameroon police arrest a woman, they rape her?
Those hypothetical situations are not at issue based on those hypothetical.
I'm asking you what you think.
I wouldn't be able to say based on this record.
There's nothing in this record about that.
With respect to a well-founded fear of future persecution, as Your Honors discussed, there are several factors in this record that argue strongly against that presumption. First and foremost, petitioner's family has remained unharmed in Cameroon. That's petitioner's testimony, and that weighs heavily against any contention that she would be unable to return either to her first address prior to her departure for Canada or to her family's home. Further, with respect to the arrest at her family's home, there is again no indication that she was arrested because of her religion, because of her status as a practicing Baptist. The internal flight alternative, petitioner's ability to relocate, is similarly a reasonable option, and the board was correct in looking to her two past relocations within Cameroon.
Why was there a one-year interval between examination and cross-examination?
I believe that was due to scheduling conflicts within the record. Petitioner was represented by counsel at one point and ultimately appeared pro se before the board. So I can certainly go back and double-check the immigration judge's notes. But
it's an odd way to conduct a proceeding.
Unfortunately, there are circumstances.
Of course, then I realize the, you know, not concerned with credibility, but when the immigration judge complains about discrepancies between examination and cross-examination when a year has intervened, it's pretty unprofessional.
Well, again, in this case, though, I think we do have the benefit, at least, of a favorable credibility determination at this juncture.
I don't know why they have to take a year to get to cross-examination.
With respect to petitioner's due process challenges, again, the government reasserts that those are unexhausted claims at this point. The specific argument that petitioner brought to the board was that the immigration judge laughed at her, mocked her. The board considered that claim fully and found that petitioner had enjoyed a full and fair adjudication of her claims and that no procedural issues had accrued from the immigration judge's hearing. Therefore, for petitioner at this juncture to assert still unspecified due process arguments is simply not a tenable conclusion. And her argument that the board had noticed that these more substantial due process arguments were at issue is simply not supported by the record.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Sponzo.
Thank you.
Ms. Williams, how much time does she have? One minute, yeah.
Your Honor, with respect to your concern about well-founded fear of persecution, The fact is, she did establish past persecution. There's a presumption that she has a well-founded fear of persecution. First of all, the country conditions have not improved. Secondly, it would not be reasonable for her to relocate because she's been away from that country for so long. There continues to be civil strife in that country. There continues to be human rights violations, even in the Anglo provinces. In Chemko, T-C-H-E-M-K-O-U, the petitioner remained in Cameroon for, I believe it was, at least 2 weeks after she suffered her last arrest and detention. Her family remained there as well. And yet, this court did grant her asylum because they found that she had a well-founded fear of persecution. Secondly, with regard to the mixed motives doctrine, there's definitely evidence here that the police went out to quiet this protest. This protest was all about having equal treatment for Francophones and Anglophones. Even though this was a standing up against university policy, the fact is that this policy was condoned by the national government. And I ask, just to finish my point, I ask this court to grant her asylum or at least remand this back to the board to consider the mixed motives doctrine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Williamson. Ms. Fonzo. Next case for argument.